You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM on this Thursday, the 23rd of September. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. All joining you, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DePaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to that website. Again, it is DePaco.com. Good show coming up for you. Gary Dolphin, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, will join us. We'll take a look ahead to Colorado State, a historic day today in Iowa City, and we'll take a look at the first three Iowa Hawkeye football games and more with Gary. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Glad you tuned in today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. How about those White Sox, Mark? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Congratulations. You're one of the bigger White Sox fans I know, and a lot of listeners are as well. Great stuff for the White Sox, and I think they're going to have a really good postseason.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. The Chicago White Sox are the 2021 American League Central Division champions, clinching just moments ago as they won the first of two in Cleveland today. And the Sox winning their first division in 13 years, going back to Ozzie Guillen in 2008, and more than likely we'll meet the Houston Astros in the playoffs, coming up the divisional round of the playoffs. Tampa is in, the White Sox are in now, and you got the Dodgers and the Giants in as far as the National League is concerned, and I think the Brewers are in. I'd have to double-check on that, but they're going to be in if they're not in, but they will be in very, very soon if they are not. But, yeah, when this whole transformation happened, Mark, and I told you, I said it on the air, I think 2020 was going to be the year that the White Sox contended. They did get into the expanded playoffs, finishing second last year, losing the first round of the playoffs. But I thought 2021 was the year they could win the division. And I picked them to win the division in our picks at the beginning of the year, and they came through for me. So, yeah, I feel good today. I'm feeling very good.
As you should. And, yeah, you were spot on. I remember the conversation on the air, you predicting what the future may hold for the White Sox. Sometimes it comes to fruition. Sometimes it doesn't. But when you have a bunch of young players like the White Sox have put together and a pitching staff that that has been accumulated. The one thing I wondered, would Tony La Russa get it done at an advanced age? And could he get this thing done? And he certainly has. By the way, Milwaukee has clinched at least a playoff spot.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, I figured that would be that is the case, but I wasn't 100% sure on that, but at any rate, the White Sox get Houston more than likely, which would be a rematch, of course, of the World Series back, 16 years ago, when the Astros, yes, kids, the Astros were in the National League at one time. Hopefully trash cans will not be around or anything like that. But, good job. And Tim Anderson got it going today with a big home run. He hit two today. Great year by Luis Robert. 350 hitting plus outfielder since coming back from the injury. Eloy Jimenez has done very well. Abreu has been hitting the cover off the ball as of late. And Grandal, since he has come back, has been doing very good things. And just got to keep everybody healthy. A little bit of a question as far as Rodon going into the playoffs, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. And there's going to be October baseball that I can keep an eye on. This has not happened in a while, Mark. So, last year, but that was different. But
I know how you feel. It's a wonderful thing. And Not to take anything away from the White Sox, but the Central Division was fairly disappointing. Aside from the White Sox, none of the other four teams have records over 500. Although Detroit has played extremely well since June, and it's an emerging team. Cleveland has been disappointing. Certainly the Twins have been disappointing, but the White Sox have something to do with that.
True. Well, Detroit has come on since the All-Star break and has, they actually have a better record than the White Sox since the All-Star break, or thereabouts anyway. So, yeah, Detroit is, Detroit's pesky. They're pesky out there, but yeah. Well, we'll revel in that a little bit. We already are, but I'm going to revel in it a little bit more because it doesn't happen every day, and you don't know how many times it's going to happen. So congratulations to the White Sox on getting into the playoffs. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Yes, thank you, Ralph. Ralph also congratulating the White Sox on getting into the playoffs today with the win over Cleveland. They'll play another one tonight. Lord only knows what kind of a lineup, and hopefully it won't be too much down the road. I think they only have like an hour and a half before the next game, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of celebrating, et cetera, until tonight in Cleveland, but we'll see how it plays out. With Liam Hendricks on that team, you have no idea what is going to happen.
Now, a former Twin who closed out this game, the first of two today, and he's been very good, by and large, for the White Sox. It's a very interesting team, including Hendricks, right?
Oh, it is a very interesting team. Very much so. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Great to have you aboard here today. We're going to talk to Gary Dolphin coming up in just a little bit. And one of the topics we will talk about with Gary was the news that came out of Iowa City today, Mark. And that headlines things as it was announced at a news conference earlier on today. Actually, the briefing and the press release came out this morning. And that is the fact that the University of Iowa is going to add women's collegiate wrestling to their list of varsity sports. They will be the first Power Five school to add women's wrestling. Certainly a red letter day as far as not only the world of wrestling, women's wrestling is concerned, but you just go up and down the line. So many people benefiting from this. A big, big announcement and a big, big day today in Iowa City.
It was, and what better school to announce the addition of wrestling than the University of Iowa, which has been a kingpin in collegiate wrestling. And listen, women's wrestling has been on the international scene for a while now. But now, as you mentioned, the first Power Five school to announce, I think there, previous to this, there was 45 schools in the country that offered women's wrestling, including five in Iowa. You know, some on the NAIA level and whatnot. But women's wrestling is going to get 10 scholarships. And the seasons will begin in 2033-2034. And I think it's important to note that this is part of a settlement that female athletes had brought against the university, a Title IX lawsuit. Iowa promising to add a women's sport, whether it be wrestling or rugby. Now we know it's wrestling. And Gary Barta, athletics director at Iowa, said today that had been thinking about adding women's wrestling. COVID-19 put a kibosh to that, at least briefly. But now it has come to fruition. And Iowa's going to have a new $20 million wrestling facility that will groundbreaking will be in 2022. I think that was already announced.
Yes.
But, that's going to be a wonderful thing. And I think you'd agree, Scott, the next move is for the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Association. It will add girls wrestling to the varsity docket statewide. Right now, there's only 32 states that offer girls wrestling. Tom Brands, head wrestling coach at Iowa, implored the IGHSAU to get with it.
Yeah, in only the way that Tom Brands can do that. And I'm sure got the attention as far as everybody in Des Moines is concerned with Gene Berger and everyone. And yeah, you're right about how the origins of this came about. With saying that, I still believe that this announcement was probably imminent sooner than later. Wouldn't you agree on that? That Iowa was going to be the headliner as far as a big time D1 schools as far as women's wrestling was concerned.
I do. I think the part about settling this lawsuit with the female athletes moved things ahead a little bit, but I think it would have happened sooner than later at the University of Iowa. It's going to be interesting to see other Power Five schools. I don't know what the budget is going to be for women's wrestling. Again, 10 scholarships will be available. Obviously, you can divide those as the men's team does, but it'd be interesting to see what follows. And, of course, athletes will be able to enroll at Iowa next year and have a year under their belt in the wrestling room, female athletes, that is, and then compete in the following year.
319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you here today. Your thoughts about Iowa adding women's wrestling and what this is going to mean. Women's wrestling has been picking up momentum not only here in the state of Iowa, but around the country, around the world. No doubt about that. This is going to accelerate that a little bit. Who is going to be the coach for this Iowa women's team? And a search is going to be begun. And we'll have to wait and see who emerges as candidates. Terry Steiner is in charge of USA Women's Wrestling. Does he come back? Does someone with Iowa roots come back? You got to think that might be a pretty good possibility at this time. If you're thinking about, and if there's no shortage of folks 2 or 3 years down the line that are middle, you know, as far as filling out the team is concerned, I should say. You've got 9th and 10th graders right now, middle school. The numbers keep going up as far as female wrestling is concerned. And you're not going to find a whole lot better girls wrestling than here in the state of Iowa. Look at the numbers as far as the unofficial state girls wrestling meet. It was held down at Extreme Arena this year. Because it was too big for Waverly Shell Rock High School, where it was held the first couple of years. And right. Just a huge, huge meet and event down there. And multi-day event down there as well. It's only going to get bigger and bigger. You're going to see there are teams out there that are forming now. And like I said, I think the next step is getting the Girls High School Athletic Union involved. And I think it is probably going to happen again sooner than later. You'll probably see sanctioning involved. You will see, I don't think you'll see classes or anything like that. You'll see a team champion and you'll see individual champions, and it will be sanctioned down the line. And that will be a great, great feeder system as far as Iowa and the Hawkeyes and women's wrestling. How long does it take before other schools in the Big Ten, especially, as we know, the Big Ten is the benchmark as far as collegiate wrestling is concerned. How long is it going to take before somebody else joins Iowa with a women's team?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I don't know the answer to that. As far as the head coach, I don't know if Terry Steiner would leave the national organization to go to Iowa. Perhaps he will. As KJ Pilcher, our friend at the Gazette and terrific wrestling writer, has pointed out on Twitter, there's no lack of female coaches as well. Whether, you know, Iowa approaches it that we need a female to coach this team or okay with a male, I personally don't care. Just get the best coach in there. But there's plenty of candidates out there. And, you know, Iowa's going to have to wrestle some of those, grand views and NAIA schools that offer wrestling right now, because this is the first Power Five school to offer a women's wrestling program. So unless more are added in the next couple of years, I think that's the type of schedule I was going to look at.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's not that you can go out and, you know, go to Penn State or something. They don't have a women's wrestling program. It's going to have to be the schools you talked about, a lot of NAIA schools out there, Division III schools, et cetera, et cetera. But the vast majority, I do believe, are NAIA schools right now. And maybe this also accelerates the fact that some of the schools in the state of Iowa, besides Iowa, smaller colleges will add women's wrestling as far as their varsity sports are concerned. Now, there is the financial part of it. You got to come up with the funds. As far as Iowa is concerned, they're going to be fine. They're going to be able to come up with the funds. But what about the other schools around the country, especially Power Five schools? When you're losing sports at this time, are they going to be able to perhaps add a women's wrestling down the line? That also remains to be seen. And you got to bring that in as far as part of the quotient out there on how quickly this is going to take off.
That's true. And just looking through the list of women's wrestling programs around the country, a lot of them are in the Midwest. So I'm not sure, travel is going to be a big issue if the number remains the same in the next couple of years. As mentioned, Grandview has a program over in Des Moines. Iowa Wesleyan in Mount Pleasant has a program. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Wartburg add women's wrestling? I haven't gotten to that yet, but Waldorf University in Forest City has women's wrestling. William Penn is the one I was thinking of. William Penn has women's wrestling as well.
In Oski. 319-366-1600, 4741 on the text line. My daughter was in a full 64-woman bracket last year at the state tournament. Women's wrestling is growing quickly here in Iowa. Good for her. And yeah, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, no doubt about it. And state of Iowa is what is going to fuel, and you're going to see a lot of Iowans as far as joining the Iowa women's wrestling team in a few years down the line. And I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I'm not, I have no idea where, if they're going to be in Carver, if they'll be at Extreme Arena, whatever the case may be. I know people are going to go down there, especially youngsters. I think are going to go down there and see it, especially young girls, because these will be kind of their role models and heroes when they start off. And like I said, it's just a red letter day as far as the University of Iowa and women's wrestling and wrestling in general is concerned today.
Yeah, and I think we know what wrestling means to the state of Iowa, and when those girls put on the Iowa uniform, and I think people will turn out of curiosity. I think a lot at the outset when it begins in a couple years. But great point by 4741. I mean, the 64 woman bracket last year at the state tournament. I mean, not every bracket I think had that many, but the tournament, first at Waverly and then the Extreme Arena, has been wildly popular and is only going to continue to grow and going to feed that Iowa program.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. 319-366-1600 as we come your way at 324. Gary Dolphin's going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. We have for you football coming up tonight and baseball as well, both beginning this evening. The football game tonight, the NFL game, as it will be Carolina at 2-0, taking on the Houston Texans tonight at 1-1. Carolina off to a good start, playing that fourth-place schedule, and heavily favored tonight to take on Houston, even though the Texans are at home tonight, but they will be with their third-string quarterback, Davis Mills out of Stanford. He will get the start tonight. Tyrod Taylor is out, and he injured a hamstring last week. And we'll see what happens this evening, but I like Carolina going to 3-0 tonight, Mark.
8-point favorite on the road, and yeah, it's been beneficial for Sam Darnold. There's no question about it. Christian McCaffrey is a wonderful player, one of the best in the business. Darnold has some weapons, and whether... You know, Tampa Bay is going to win that division. But Carolina, with that schedule, might be equipped to make the playoffs.
And the Twins in action tonight. They take on Toronto in a big game for the Blue Jays tonight. We've got it for you at 6 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the Jim OT, 6:40 with the first pitch. And the NFL game comes up tonight. That will be at 7 o'clock. I got a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you as well. We will get to that here in just a little bit as we come your way on the Gym Class for this Thursday here on KGYM. We need to get you to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. They are behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, Mark. And on this Thursday, what's on the scoreboard?
Well, as we talked about, the Major League Baseball afternoon games are underway. That one game complete, and that is your White Sox defeating the Indians 7-2 in the first of two in Cleveland. Right now, on the top of the seventh inning, Milwaukee Brewers leading the St. Louis Cardinals 5-1. Top of the fourth inning, the Dodgers and Rockies tied at threes. Top of the third, the Athletics on top of the Mariners. 1-0. Third inning scoreless. The Braves at the Diamondbacks. And just getting underway, the Giants and Padres out on the coast. You mentioned the Twins and Jays. Twins and meaningful baseball tonight. Meaningful for the other team, but
I wasn't going to say that, Mark, but you did.
The Ryder Cup gets underway tomorrow morning, bright and early, 7 o'clock. With foursomes action. Later on today, they will announce the pairings for that first session at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Can't wait, Scott.
Can't wait either. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll give a prediction coming up at the end of the program here today, along with BNA, on how we see it all playing out. We're going to take a break, come back here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM, and Gary Dolphin's going to join us. We'll talk Hawkeye football, and we'll talk about the big announcement today in Iowa City. That and more coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. We welcome you back on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, as we will have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you. We'll talk a little Ryder Cup, a little high school football as well, as week five of the season getting underway this evening. And that will be with a good one out at Kingston Stadium, as Kennedy will take on Dubuque Senior. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. And we've got football coming up tonight for you from the National Football League, as it'll be the Texans and the Panthers at 7 o'clock tonight. Also, Twins baseball coming up at 6 o'clock on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. Speaking of Dubuque, our friend Gary Dolphin, kind enough to join us here on the Gym Class on a Thursday on KGYM, the voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And also, we encourage you to give Gary a follow on Twitter. He's a Twitter guy now, at Gary Dolphin. And welcome to the Twitterverse, Gary.
Well, that's what you call having a capable, good, younger assistants who know everything there is to know about social media, Scott. So I tell them what to put on there, and hopefully they do that. But I pretty much stay away from Facebook and Twitter, other than where the Hawkeyes are concerned.
I'm right there with you as far as my sons are concerned. They give a big assist to that. But before we talk about football and everything that has gone on so far for Kirk and the Hawkeyes, a pretty big day today in Iowa City with the announcement that women's wrestling is going to be coming to the University of Iowa, the first Power Five school to bring about women's wrestling. And I think it was something that was probably happening sooner than later, but today was the day that it was announced, and a big day indeed.
Yes, it was, particularly when you have a legendary, historic program like the University of Iowa. There's only a handful that would even approach the Hawkeyes, or at least be their equal. One would be Oklahoma State, certainly Penn State. A lot of the schools out east, the Lehighs of the world, have had great histories, but we're better than Middle America to announce the birth of the women's wrestling program in a state that espouses to have outstanding girls' high school wrestling. I know it's not sanctioned yet by the Girls' Union or the High School Athletic Association, but I think I read where there's 600, which this one really caught me off guard. There's more than 600 young women at the high school level who wrestled or have wrestled here in the past few years. So it's a great jumping off point to get going. I love what Coach Brand said. It's long overdue, and ironically, it coincides with the development of that state-of-the-art Olympic-style wrestling facility that they plan to build at Iowa here in the next few years. So it really the two dovetail into each other. I think it's great news, and to quote Coach Brand's, long overdue. And Gary Barta said, "Where else but Iowa would we make an announcement like this?"
Gary, congratulations on 25 years in the booth with one Ed Podolak. And, I mean, you've lasted longer than some marriages.
Well, even more unique miraculous is my liver has lasted that long, Mark, with Pody. Yeah, about 25 years with Pody and Bobby Hansen. I'm kidding, of course, about the liver comment. Well, at least to a certain degree, but we had great chemistry from day one. At least I felt we had to grow into the roles. I mean, we knew each other socially and professionally. And I speak of Bobby Hansen, too, because it's his 25th year. Will be shortly. And I've preached this from the highest mountaintops for 25 years. I don't know of another Division I play-by-play announcer who is as fortunate as I am to have a Super Bowl champion for a football analyst and an NBA champion for a basketball analyst. And they both were great athletes, great stars, great players at the University of Iowa. So thanks for the accolades, Dukie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Garrett, you've probably been asked this a million times, but I don't know the answer. Where did your reference to Ed Buddy Boy come from?
Well, actually, that's his comment. I mean, that's his moniker. And frankly, I'm not sure where it came from. I mean, I knew of it before he and I ever started working together. And yeah. I don't think it was there long before we got together. But and you know what? He's told me the origin of that. Let me ask him this weekend, and I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay, dear.
You can tweet it out.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tweet it out. I'll say a very passionate listener to the Hawkeye Radio Network wanted to know where the origin of Buddy Boy came from.
Gary Dolphin joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Well, 3-0 start, and you can't script that any better. One of the nation's best defenses for this Iowa football team so far, and a meteoric rise in the polls for what it's worth in late September anyway. But 3-0 still. I'm not sure even the most fervent Hawkeye fan thought it was going to be 3-0 at this point, but here we are.
Yeah, I think if you inject a truth serum into myself and other people who follow the program closely, even you guys, I think we would have been happy with a split of those first two games. Certainly, my approach has always been win your home games and pick a couple off on the road, and you're probably headed for a New Year's Day a bowl game, maybe a New Year's Day 6 game. But to win both, and certainly the Iowa State game in Ames was at least 50-50 in most people's views. But you guys have been watching the game as long as I have. When you turn the ball over, you're typically going to get beat when you lose a turnover battle. And that has been a consistent. And, you know, you mentioned the great defensive play, Scott. The consistent threat of the defense has to start with special teams and has to start with the punter and the kicker. And Torrey Taylor has been just an incredible find. Obviously, LeVar Woods knew what he was looking at when he went across the pond and way down under. And we threw a stat out there last week. There are now 53 punters from Australia on 51 campuses at the Division I level. I mean, that one really caught me off guard. I figured it'd be double figures, but not 53 of them. So I think every coach in America or every special teams coach will be making that trip over there. But what Torrey Taylor has done, not only length and hang time, but the punts that have died inside the 20 and inside the 10. And that's where it starts with the defense. And Norm Parker always had that saying, when you kick the ball away, if you make them drive the field 12, 13, 14 plays, that means two things. Number one, you're usually starting deep in your own territory. And number two, which was most important, Norm, is eventually they're going to make a mistake. May not be a fatal mistake, but typically you're going to either get an interception, you're going to get a strip fumble, and that's exactly what has happened for the Iowa defense. And so I think special teams, and on the flip side, Caleb Shudek has not had, I think, one or two kicks returned. So no chance for the opposition to run one back and maybe inject a little adrenaline into their approach, particularly if they're down in the football game on the scoreboard. So I think special teams and defense go hand to glove here.
Gary, you get asked this quite often, and I'm sure it came up last night, and probably every step you take and every interaction that you have with a fan, and that's why can't this offense get untracked? And, I mean, in my mind, it was over 400 yards against Kent State and almost equally distributed, but people don't think this offense is too much right now. What say you?
I see where that's coming from, Mark, but the bottom line is to win the turnover battle and put enough points on the board to win football games. And I mean, historically, Kirk and the Iowa offense, I shouldn't say rarely, but there have only been a few years where they have been a wide open, score a lot of points per game offense. Some of the Drew Tate, Brad Banks teams, Ricky Stanzi had a few in there. But primarily, it's been great defense, solid special teams, win the turnover battle. Now, that doesn't mean I'm opposed to the Hawks scoring 40 or 50 points here or there. But, that's on the surface. Internally, they're asking Spencer Petras not to turn the ball over. Don't make a mistake. Last year, Spencer, you know, there's not a throw he can't make, or at least he thinks there's not a throw he can't make. He's got an incredible cannon for an arm. But if you'll notice, he's not sending it vertical. He's not throwing it down the field, 30, 40, 50-yard patterns, at least not yet. And there's a twofold reason for that is they're very protective on the turnover side, and they're lopsided in plus turnovers right now. They've turned 8 turnovers into 44 points, so steady the ship there. And number two is he really, to me, is a first-year starting quarterback without the benefit of spring practice a year ago, no summer drills, no fall work, no fall camp until, 2 weeks before that October 24th game. He's still feeling his way, and I think Brian Ferentz and the offensive coaches, particularly the head man, are saying, look, let's not feed this kid too much. Now, he's a brilliant kid. He can swallow that playbook in no time, and he's energetic. He wants to get out. He's a West Coast guy. He wants to open it up. But as long as Tyler Goodson's standing in that backfield and they've got a brand new offensive line other than Lindebaum, they got Kyler Schott back last week, they're going to take baby steps. And in defense of Spencer, he's had some drops. Not deep routes, but he's had some medium-range drops, 10, 15, 20 yards, that we're not used to seeing. And, you know, I don't have to mention names. People can look at the tape. So I think it's at bullpens, but I think primarily they're taking that conservative approach because of Spencer's lack of experience. He's basically, they play eight games last year. He's basically played a dozen games. I think you'll see that offense improve produce more points and more yards as the season goes on, even in the Big Ten with more experience. But it'll be more so on the offensive line growing up than anything Spencer Petras is doing.
Hey, Gary, two guys I'd like you to touch upon a little bit. And one of those, they're both on the defensive side of the ball and guys that not a lot of people probably talked about going into the year nationally, but they are really making a name for themselves. One of them, of course, is Jack Campbell, obviously. But tell you what, Zach Van Valkenburg is opening eyes, and he's going up draft boards now. And this guy just keeps churning out play after play after play on the defensive line. And that's where a lot of people were kind of pointing at and kind of wondering about this Iowa football team this year. But so far, he has been just absolutely terrific. And then, of course, Campbell's kind of – he's the man back there as far as the defense is concerned in the middle.
First off, to Campbell, you guys watched him in high school. Yep. As I did. I was more of a casual observer. I mean, I watched him in the state basketball tournament and thought, man, he's pretty good. He's pretty good between the baselines. What kind of football is this guy going to be when he gets in the strength and conditioning area and beefs up another 20 or 30 pounds? Well, we're seeing now what he is, what he can be. And I mentioned this on the air last week, fellas, it's been a long time since we've seen a guy at Iowa, 6'3" or 6'4", 200, you know, he's tugging at 250 pounds that can run like he can. And I speak mainly of sideline to sideline. This guy going across the field laterally is incredible. And still has the instincts, and I know they go hand in hand, but the instincts, the predictability that he has in his head of where that play is going, he combines all of the traits you need in a great linebacker, not necessarily middle linebacker. I think he's a bigger version of Josie Jewell. He may not be as fast across the field as Josie is, but Josie was 20, 25 pounds lighter than Jack is, and he's just scratching the surface. You know, it's incredible to me to think that he missed five games because of mono last year in that goofy COVID year, and look how far he's come in roughly five, six, seven games. So he's far from a finished product, but he is he's really incredible and so much fun to watch. On the flip side, Van Valkenburg is fifth, sixth-year guy when it's all said and done from Hillsdale to here, and that's what Kirk Ferentz talks about when he illustrates what experience means not only to the Iowa football program, but what it means to Phil Parker's defense and Norm Parker before him. It's great when kids stay at Iowa for as long as they do. I didn't think Lindebaum would be back this year, and he came back because he felt he needed more work. And look what he's doing on the other side of the football. But Zach Van Valkenburg, he's a I don't know if he's a thinner version of A.J. Epenesa, but he's similar in size, and I think has similar instincts. And ironically, I heard an interview with John Wagner yesterday or Tuesday at the press day, where he was watching tape of A.J. Epenesa this past week, eight or nine games of A.J. Epenesa, and he and Zach and others are learning some of the Epenesa moves that A.J. Fashioned when he was at Iowa. And I think that's part of what happens from generation to generation at Iowa. That's why you see Scott, very little fall off on the defensive side of the football. And the latest happens to be Zach Van Valkenburg. And then it's going to be, Wagner this year and next year. And then it's going to be Y.A. Black and Noah Shannon for a year or two. And Lucas Van Ness and Logan Lee, these names that are starting to emerge, which I'm not shocked at, but I'm a little surprised at how fast they're developing. And for Zach Van Valkenburg, I'm not surprised at what you're seeing on the field right now.
Three games in, Gary, I wanted to get your impressions on what's happened in the Big Ten so far, what you think about the Iowa schedule going forward. A lot of folks pointing to that Penn State game. But what about teams like Minnesota? And I don't know, I'm a tad nervous about Maryland on a Friday night. And then, of course, Wisconsin.
Oh, you have a right to be nervous about Maryland. I mean, I think they're undefeated, if I'm not mistaken. I watched quite a bit of the Illinois game last week, and, you know, Bielema is still trying to figure it out down there as to what he needs to move that program forward. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Maryland won the football game. I was a little bit surprised at how Illinois stumbled at the end. But again, brand new coach, first year, all that. Mike Locksley is proven, whether he's the offensive coordinator at Alabama. He used to be at Illinois. He was a head coach at New Mexico, as I remember. And so he's got a coaching pedigree that stretches far and wide, and he's a great recruiter, and he's brought a staff in there who can get the Tungavaloas. Now that one I got to tell you, opened my eyes a little bit. That one surprised me. I'm not sure what the connection is there, but it has to be family related or beyond. But he gives them a great starting point at quarterback, a terrific athleticism. So Maryland has kind of impressed me, Mark, the first couple weeks. And so is Minnesota. What they did last week, granted, Colorado is not the old Eric Bieniemy Colorado Buffaloes, but they're still a quality program with a rich history. And to put a 30-0 beatdown on Colorado, that tells me that these guys, that PJ has, he surrounded the boat and with one oar in the water and one oar out after they lost Mo Ibrahim, because that guy is the real deal. He's going to be a great pro, assuming he comes back from that terrible injury he suffered on opening night. And Minnesota gave Ohio State just what I thought they'd give them, a very good fight. I would not have been surprised if Ohio State lost at Minnesota, simply because of all the new players, the new kids, the new youngsters are playing on that Ohio State team. To go on the road and play a night game on a Thursday. And, you know, Mark, Iowa has the same issue next Friday night. You know, I don't like night games. I like them a lot better when they're in Kinnick. But as a rule, I don't like night games. You know, the guys lay around all day thinking about what they're supposed to do that night. And I don't want to say they're sluggish, but, you know, they could be a little bit physically and mentally ill-prepared. And that's why I love Iowa's staff, because rarely does that happen. Almost never. So I think they'll give a great effort at Maryland. But, you know, the rest of the Big Ten, Michigan State, I did not think they'd be 3-0. I thought they could be 2-1, but that one at Miami shows me that, with all due respect to Mel Tucker, because I think he's a heck of a coach, that one opened my eyes. Michigan finally is reaping what they thought they had with Harbaugh, and it looks like maybe they've got it right and could challenge the Ohio State Buckeyes for the top of the heap. But Penn State, that doesn't surprise me. They always have talent. I don't know what happened out there last year. You know, blame it on COVID. But I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out. Nebraska, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going on out there or what will happen as the season goes on. And Nebraska plays Michigan State this week, so that'll be an interesting game. But, you know, I like, finally to Wisconsin. I still think the road to the title, Dookie, goes through Madison. But what I've seen out of Iowa right now, the offense has been steady, if not spectacular. The special teams have been all world, and the defense has been all American. And I think it's legit. I really do. Now they got to come out and get a hold of Colorado State by the Adam's apple right out of the gate on Saturday, put that one away, and then go to Maryland on a real roll.
True. And we're getting to the end of our conversation here, Gary. By the way, a lot of people on the text line saying they love the new place in Dubuque. Just throwing that out there. I told them I would do that.
The Iron Bar? We got to get you guys up here.
I know. We'll look forward to that. But before we let you go, a couple of folks with the same question here about he's kind of a folk hero. Monty Potterbaum, the young man out of far northwest Iowa and West Lyon. Everybody loves a good fullback, and everybody loves him more when he even gets to carry the ball a few times. But this kid has been pretty amazing so far.
He really has, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised there, Scott, because Ferentz loves a fullback. I mean, he's a throwback. He's a Belichick, Ted Marchibroda. Hayden Fry loved fullbacks.
Yep.
Norm Granger. So why wouldn't Kirk Ferentz? Now they're a little bit bigger now than they were then, but everybody's bigger now than then. And I love Sean Lewis, who played at Wisconsin. The head coach at Kent State had one of the best lines I've ever heard. He one of the first guys he talked about in our pregame last week was Potabom. He said, "I just love the horse collar on that guy. He reminds me of Mike Allstott at Purdue." Mike was a great player in the pros. He said, "When I look at a guy like that, I think there's a guy that enjoys car crashes." And, you know, I don't want to make light of anybody who's been in an automobile accident, but I think that puts it in perspective as to what the Iowa fullback not only is or means to the offense. I mean, he made a couple blocks last week that were just textbook, or Goodson doesn't score on two of those three touchdown runs. So that's all you need to know about Monty Potabom, other than he's from West Lyon, and he's from one of my favorite names, Larchwood, Iowa. If that doesn't breathe fullback, I don't know what does.
Very true. Very true. Hey, Gary, appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking with you next time. And best of luck to you and Ed, and we'll talk to you soon. How's that?
Sounds good to me, Scott. Dookie, good talking to you. Take care, guys.
All right, thank you. Take care. Gary Dolphin, play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we will talk a little bowling with you. Bowling Night in America from last night. We'll wrap it up when we return.
The biggest game of Week 3 is the Monday night.
On the Gym. And we were there last night. It is time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Wednesday night Bowling Night in America. It's even a good time, Mark, when we're not bowling so good.
You mean leaving about 20 single pins in the course of a series?
That would be me. Yeah, that's me. Mr. Nine.
I tuned in on the Facebook live feed that Pro Bowling Concepts had last night, and it was excruciating for you watching from home. But at any rate, the Pro Bowling Concepts took us down 17-13 last night. An excellent team with the Donners and others. But unfortunately, league secretary, the clearinghouse, including ours, has not sent updates from last night. We do know that the Rusty Nails are 52-38 and probably didn't slide a whole lot from that second place position.
Maybe a little. Maybe a little. So we don't, I know that the Ryan Bundy next to us had a really big night, but we don't even know who had the biggest night last night. I guarantee you it was none of us on the Rusty Nails.
I can vouch for that, and apologies for that high game and series that we cannot bring to you, but one of those things.
We'll maybe do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get it up and running. It's not us. It's the national. Like I said, the national site is down. So, yeah, we'll get that back up for you. But what is never down is May City Bowl, and they've got, again, if you want to get a team together and join a league, there are certainly availabilities out there that, and open bowling available as well out at May City.
Yeah, I encourage you to call out ahead of time and check out when those availabilities are. 362-0136. Great place to have a birthday party for young and old. Please visit the pro shop if you have any. You know, it's shopping season coming up, Scott.
Darn right. So
check out the pro shop. Andy Dirks doing great work there. So, you can always visit the website as well and get more information, MayCityBowlCR.com.
Week 5 of the high school football season getting started tonight. It'll be Kennedy, number 2 in the state in the Gazette poll, hosting Dubuque Senior, a 3-1 team, a very good team. I'll be out there with John on the call on CRM Live Sports on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, CRM Live Sports. Check it out. And we'll be on the air at 7:15. Coming up tonight, looking forward to what should be a very, very good matchup this evening. And tomorrow morning, the Ryder Cup gets underway from Whistling Straits. Who do you like? This is very tough to handicap and pick, Mark, but you had a 50% chance of getting this right, and so do I.
It's better percentages than I usually have. I'm going to go with the U.S. I think it's got more top world-ranked players. But the Euros have owned this thing recently, and the U.S. is going to have to rebound in some way and some fashion. We'll find out in the next couple, 3 days.
I want to see the Americans win, but I think it's top to bottom. I think the Euros have a little bit better team. We'll see. I would take them right now, but you never know how it all plays out. We'll recap day one of that coming up tomorrow, and we'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six tomorrow as well. Have a good night, Mark.
You got it. Talk tomorrow.
Todd and Alex are next. KGYM. Get in zone. Auto.